out of the clouds and out of this fucking somethings, there's an intro, and I have no clue what it's about, but we're going to talk about some weird, dumb shit today, so welcome back. I'm in the driver's seat. Ooh, yeah, give me some.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Mr. Fancy Pants. Todd's got the reins, so we have no idea what the fuck is going to happen, but I guarantee you I'll have fun.
You mean sure I'm gonna drive the airplane today?
You're gonna, the airplane driver.
Dang old airplane driver, man.
Bring that back up.
I am a semi-professional, semi-retired airplane driver / amateur tattoo artist.
You're the one I want. Zach, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm all right. My tank's on, I don't know, less than a quarter, but we'll power through this bad boy.
Running on empty.
Pretty close, yep. What's up, the motherfucking Todd?
The Todd abides.
Oh, yeah. What are we on about today? Or is there anything new happening with anybody that they'd like to get out there before we start? And then we'll bring up the missing person in the room.
Yeah, there's something new.
What? No. Just, he's going to do the thing. He's doing the thing. Okay. Lindy.
No.
Lindy couldn't be here because what? She got finals?
Yeah.
She's like trying to do school shit and better herself and,
you know, all that
something
stuff.
More productive out of her life, and I don't know, all that fucking up.
God, why can't she just be like us and not want to fucking do anything except just sit around and hang out and drink beers?
I want to do stuff
with that woman to have that much drive. Jesus.
C's bring degrees, Lindy.
Do you guys know what you want to be?
Degrees.
Do you guys know what you want to be when you grow up? Because I still don't know. I guess I'm Peter
Pan.
I want
to be rich.
I want to be comfortable. Rich, I don't give a fuck.
When I grow up, I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
Oh, fucking, most people ain't even going to get that. How long those have been closed?
A long time. At least 7 years.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Yeah. It was before I moved to Texas, so.
Yeah, it's been forever, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been so long.
I love how we measure things. Well, it was before I went here.
In Dukes of Hazzard?
No, it was before I did that.
How many Dukes of Hazzards ago? How many Dukes of Hazzards worth of sleep did you get? I had 8. 8 Dukes of Hazzards. 9. Oh, it's 4.5 hours. Yeah, I got 9 Dukes of Hazzards. If you count the commercials. If you don't count the commercials, what is it actually? Anyway. 26 minutes, maybe? 27?
Do you know why we, as this generation, have great bladders? Because you knew how to hold a urination to make it to a commercial break.
No pauses.
And if somebody else was in the bathroom, you knew how to hold it until the next commercial break. Because you weren't going to miss.
Like if I heard one of my kids go, oh, they left on a cliffhanger, I'd be like, I'm going to smack you across the room. You don't have to wait a week. That next one's going to pop up. 3, 2, 1. What a hell of a cliffhanger, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then you're going to fucking skip to the intro in the fucking. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right there.
Previously on whatever bullshit show you're watching. Yeah.
Neither one of my kids have shown any interest in watching Twin Peaks, but if they do, I like got the box set of every episode. Nice. And it's got the newer seasons that they did too. It's like,
boom.
It's not fair. It's not fair for you to be able to watch this because you know, it's like, we had to watch it one day and then wait a week to watch the next episode. Try to piece that shit together when you got things going on in your life.
No,
and figure this shit out.
Try to go
and
to
then
bed
wait
that
18
night
years for the last season to come in. Yeah.
And then the movie, it's like,
Fire Walk With Me.
I think the movie was just all about, you know what, did a few seasons of that, did two seasons of that and couldn't show any tits. That's all I'm going to do. That's it. That's all I'm doing. I'm going to show you what happened, but nothing but boobies.
Everybody likes the boobies.
Speaking of wonderful mysteries.
Oh,
yes. Okay.
We're going to talk about some weird militaresque mysteries.
I love
it. Going to slowly build a mystery and save some animals.
Sarah McLachlan.
Save some animals. Okay.
Easy there, Sarah McLachlan. Oh. I didn't know you were Canadian.
I didn't know I was going to need my tissues.
All right. This one is number one for the the Foo Fighters were more than a band name.
Very true.
Yes.
Yep. True. Yes. Yeah. Almost everyone has heard of the Foo Fighters. Wait, Foo Fighters.
If you're going to do the walking, you got to be like,
I can't do the walking. I can do the running, but I can't do the walking. But most people don't realize the origin of the band's name. In World War II, the Foo Fighters were a genuine concern. At night, American and British pilots frequently spotted bright lights in the distance. At first, they assumed the lights were Russian or German flyers until they began to move. The lights would change direction and speed away faster than any aircraft possibly could. Hundreds of reports were recorded, with some pilots even reporting dogfights with them. Since one was able to figure out what
dogfights with something that speeds away at unbelievable speeds, you're going to try to dogfight it.
Look out! It's getting reinforced.
Damn.
It's crazy.
So, since no one was able to figure out what the crafts were or who piloted them, they were given the nickname Foo Fighters.
What's a foo? Is the foo like Fugazi kind of?
It's just F-O-O, man. It's foo. It's foo.
Okay. I didn't know if
it
had
a meaning. Don't you know foo? It's the foo, foo. No, but to this day, it is one of the absolute unexplained biggest military mysteries of World War II.
Now,
the Foo Fighters.
I was just wondering if it was an acronym or
any sort of like affiliation with like the whole Nazi Bell thing.
Sure, you can go there if you want to.
Ooh, there's so much stuff in that. I grew up. My grandpa was a big fan of the History Channel or Age for Hitler.
Nazi because, channel?
Yeah, it's all World War II channel. Yeah. Basically, it was everything that they did. But my sister actually had. She sent me a video. Her and Derek were sitting on the porch, and they recorded this light because they was out to watch fireworks, and this light's just sitting there. And then it starts going like this, and then like this. And even Derek, I can hear him on the, while she's recording, and he's like, what the fuck is that? And then it just shot off, but she sent it to me on one that you can only watch like once, and then it's gone. I don't know what it was.
Like she did it on purpose.
Yeah. I was like, I was going to post that.
So screen grab that.
She saved it. I didn't know. I didn't know what I was in for. Apparently, I was in for some foo. I didn't know if Foo Bar, Foo, I guess it's Foo.
Matt, I'll come over and program your VCR for you.
I don't have any problem with a VCR, motherfucker. I can run on them like a son of a bitch. Blu-ray player,
can you
I'm good.
Program it?
Yes. Yes, I can.
All right.
No, she just sent me a video and I watched it and then it wasn't there. And I was like, oh, shit. But I didn't look to see what it was. I just opened it to enjoy.
Number two.
Moving right along.
You know, these days, Todd, instant gratification is what everyone wants. I didn't look into anything. Just opened it and watched.
Oh, my God. Little less talk and a lot more.
Action?
Mm-hmm. It's what everybody wants.
I'd be happy for any action. Anywho.
Anywho.
Number two.
Drop the deuce.
The Red Baron's killer was never discovered.
Really?
The Red Baron, not Snoopy, the Red Baron, and Snoopy, it's not verified. He can neither confirm nor deny that he shot down the Red Baron.
I have no idea.
The motherfucker could play a mean fucking piano, though.
Yep.
He was one of the most lethal fighters in history with over 80 confirmed kills.
That's nuts, man.
Serious threat to the Allied forces during World War I. A Canadian pilot named Roy Brown claimed to have shot down his plane. But the details of his story didn't make sense because, one, according to paperwork, he was not even in a plane that day. And, two, there was no Canadian forces in the area where the Red Baron was shot down.
Yeah, not looking good for your case, buddy. You're building a pretty shitty case here.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry.
If I had to guess, the Red Baron was just such a badass that he was like, yeah, I'm almost out of fuel, but you know what? There's one more guy, and I'm going to go get him. He did.
I know what happened.
Didn't make it back.
I know what happened.
So he proved the point I made in an earlier episode.
I think he ate himself to death.
Planes go up, planes come down.
Are you talking about Pizza the Hut?
Yeah, yeah. Red Baron, man. Yeah. Red Baron.
Yeah, he was from Malaysia.
Malaysia.
So no one knows for sure who killed him, but whoever it was could have had their name recorded in the history books. The Red Baron was such an amazing pilot. Now, mind you, he was shot down over France. So the Allies, when they actually found his plane and found his body, they actually gave him a proper funeral.
Props.
A warrior's honorary, you know, funeral. They buried him with high honors. And
how many did he have? How many confirms did he have?
80.
80. That's 80. Insane.
My guess is whoever shot him down probably didn't want anybody to know because it's like, all these goddamn dimmers are coming after me now.
No, whoever shot
one boy.
I'll never get a discount on a Volkswagen ever.
Whoever shot him down did it. They caught him from behind like he didn't see him coming. Like, I'm not going to lie about it because I'm not going to say I was in a dogfight with him. Ain't nobody going to believe me. So, and this was like one dude, one gun kind of battles, wasn't it? One dude flying and shooting at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah.
How fucking that was, impossible.
That was him anyway, right? Now some this biplanes, right?
Yes.
So some of them did have the rear gun.
Actually, the Red Baron had a triplane.
Oh, okay. Yeah, try. Okay.
He was a three-winger.
See, I think it's always pictured as being bi.
I thought he had a duplane, because there is no
well,
try.
Well, I'm sure he was bi, but, you know, he went try.
Okay, here we go. Bringing up Star Wars, we got a Yoda plane. We got
a sector of this. What the fuck's going on?
What does any of this have to do with plane porn?
I don't even think I have any Red Barons here, but I would imagine that the logo on the box is probably a biplane, right?
Yeah, it's a plane and a guy with a, you know, he's got the cap on.
Scarf. He's got the scarf flying out the back.
Yeah.
Probably a large mustache.
I am ashamed to admit that I eat more than my fair share of Red Baron pizzas. So.
Oh, I want to do a tier list on frozen pizzas. They would be up there.
10, 20, 30, 40, 50 or more. Anyways, moving along. Number three.
I'm just surprised with 80 fucking battles.
Yeah.
That's the confirmed.
Imagine
how many people, you know, I got away from that bastard. He didn't get me.
Exactly.
Or if you fucked up, you were like, goddamn, Red Baron shot me down.
Yeah. Or how many people were in the sky and seen his plane come and be like, nah, fuck, nah. I'm out. I'm tapping, man. I'm running.
So, number three. still in World War One, a Hungarian soldier, his name was Bela Kiss. He enlisted in the Hungarian army, and at the time, he notified his landlord that he would be away for some time, obviously going to war. So after a great amount of time, as any real landlord would, he heard that Kiss had died in combat. So he decided to rent the house to someone else. Gotta make that money. So when he arrived to clean it out, he walked into a house of horrors.
Now, when you say horrors, are we talking like nine girls laid out with like piles of coke everywhere, or are we talking like a cop?
There were some women laid out, but oh no boy, cocaine.
Were they killed with a love gun?
Nice rip.
Nice. So several bodies were inside, and they were all preserved in alcohol, all belonging to women who had disappeared from the local area.
Okay.
It turns out Kiss had been tricking women into marriage before killing them and taking control of their finances. And despite an extensive search, Kiss himself was never found. His body was never recovered. So this guy literally decided to go to a war, was in essence a serial killer, and nobody knows if he actually died in the war.
And that was like his getaway plan. Must have been, I can't keep this up for much longer.
And rock and roll.
The God of Thunder.
All right.
Okay. When I was, I don't even know how old I was. My dad had Kiss Alive. I was going through dad's albums like I always did. And as soon as I seen the cover, I was like, yeah, I got to listen to this. It was just like, dude, from the beginning, I was just like, yeah. That's what I'm talking about right here, man.
Show me the bitches.
Yeah. You wanted the best. You got the best.
Number four.
Wait, no, I'm not done with that last one. You said that he had girls preserved in alcohol. What, did he have, like, was he, like, rubbing them down with it, or did he have, like, tanks in there? So I'm picturing, like, a...
If I understand it correctly, he had large... wooden barrels bodies in them filled with alcohol to preserve the body so it wouldn't.
He was aging them like Tabasco sauce. It's just a little different recipe.
He was after the devil's cut.
Yes, he certainly was. Oh my god, how'd you, you're a cop, you break into that place, and what are all these barrels you pop it open, and there's like a pickled woman in it?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird as hell, man.
Don't touch her, man. She's 125 proof.
Put that cigarette out, you fucking idiot. Blow up this motherfucker.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go on. Come on.
Jedi. Okay. So, number four. It's hard to imagine that six planes could straight up disappear. But that's what happened on December 5th, very close to another date, December 5th, 1945.
Ooh, yeah, was it December 1st, 1941? December 7th, 1941? Is that that was Pearl Harbor, right? 42.
I think it was 42. Oh, hey, I forgot. I've got a funny story about this one.
Uh-oh.
I'll save it for the next one.
Okay. December 7th, 1942. I was thinking 41. Wasn't there a video game 1941?
November 5th, 1955.
There was a movie 1941.
Okay, wasn't there a video game, an arcade game, where you did the...
1943.
Well, I know there was a 43, but they made sequels of it. That's why I thought maybe there was a 1941 and then 42, 43.
Yeah. I don't remember. I'll look
into it. Look into some arcade games. I just remember when I was a kid how much I wanted one so bad. Like, even now that I'm an adult, I still want one.
Gamers. Yeah. God damn.
I want them. And here's the thing. I'd like a Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam. That's how old I am. Those are the two that I basically want in my house. I don't want one that plays everything. I want one. I just want the Mortal Kombat and the NBA Jam. Have those.
I'll tell you how old I am. I actually took a butter knife to the gas station to play track and field. So you could slap the one side and it'd be through your fingers and it would slap the other button so you could fucking do all your jumps and runs. That's how old I am.
I'm coming out with a butter knife. I'm going to get this shit done.
Five.
Okay.
Grumman TBM Avenger Torpedo Bombers, collectively known as Flight 19.
Wait, did we do the story about the six missing planes?
No, we missed it. No, you didn't even do it. Go back.
You gotta go back. Rewind. As if this is a VCR. Bring it back up. Rewind. Be kind. Rewind. We didn't do the six planes. I interrupted you and you got off your train of thought.
Yep. So, Flight 19...
Yep.
Stopped responding to the control tower while on a training flight. A Mariner flying boat was deployed to search for the missing planes, but the Mariner soon vanished too. While no bodies or wreckage were ever found, 27 men and 6 aircrafts were never seen again. While many rumors cropped up over the years, the disappearance probably has nothing to do with the supernatural. The most likely explanation is that Flight 19's leader, Navy Lieutenant Charles Taylor, there's another joke about a lieutenant, got so disoriented that he led the planes out to sea until they ran out of gas and crashed in the Atlantic.
Is this the beginning? Is this like the beginning of the Bermuda Triangle? Is this where it started, or was it already a thing?
Yes, this is where it
started, right? Okay.
So, the rescue seaplane is likely to have exploded, as flying boats were prone to catching fire because they were made out of wood.
Everything was back in the day. How many times did America burn before people were like, hey, maybe we ought to switch this shit up a little? Chicago fire.
It's not done burning.
And once again, I don't care if I am in the military and my leaders say, you got to keep following me. If I'm watching my fuel gauge and it's getting that low, I'm like, eat shit, buddy. I'm in the back. So, go fuck yourself. Nope.
So, yes, the planes were never found. Nothing was ever found. But the area that all of these planes disappeared in is, yes, now known as the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay. That's
what the... Okay, so it's this dude, like, they think, well, it's his fault. He let him out there, and there's no fucking way I believe that.
This is the longest-standing joke you will ever hear in the military, especially from, like, the Marines and the Army, where they're actually on the ground soldiering their way on, and there's a lieutenant who's in charge of a squad or a platoon, and, yeah, you give them a map and a compass, and they're fresh out of fucking officer school, and they're fucking, yeah, I'm in charge. And you've got these guys that have been doing this shit for 8 fucking years.
Yeah.
While he's, you know, day 2, but he's the lieutenant. And yeah, chop it through the fucking woods, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, man, we should be going the other way. I'm the lieutenant. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, motherfucker, you don't know how to read a map. You know how to use a fucking compass. But hey, yeah, you're in charge. We'll follow you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I don't even think you'd have gotten in trouble if you'd been like, nah, fuck you, I'm not following you. And you went back and been like, you know what, I saved your plane and I'm still here. And these guys, 2 of them followed me, but that idiot wanted us to keep going. I'll tell you what, if I'm flying a plane, my eye is watching that fuel gauge more than anything else. I swear to God.
You mean you're driving a plane?
I'm driving my plane.
I personally think they made it all the way to the southwest coast of Australia, and some went down somewhere along there. Because that's where planes seem to disappear and run out of fuel and crash.
Wow.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Plane go up?
Plane go down. All right, number 5. Lieutenant Colonel Pete Ellis.
It seems Pete, like Todd's just venting on lieutenants right now. Sorry, go ahead. Pete Ellis.
He predicted the bombing of Pearl Harbor over 20 years before it happened.
December 7, 1942.
So in 1920, Lieutenant Colonel Pete Ellis was a bit of an oddball in the Navy. He was known for being pretty solitary and working late into the night. When asked what he was doing in his office so late, he said he was working on a special project.
Yeah, don't come in here. Later, pants are down.
Special project. Got all the lights off, his laptop's open, a couple candles burning, a glass of wine. Well, I don't know how everybody else does it.
A year later, he appeared to go mad. He gave a lengthy prediction of the future, including Japan's attack on several islands in the Pacific, the targeting of Pearl Harbor, and the use of torpedo planes. Considering torpedo planes hadn't been invented yet, he sounded crazy. Except, dun dun dun,
it all happened. Right.
And all his predictions.
That is why you don't jerk off more than like 4 or 5 times a week, man. That's it.
Don't do it. You go blind.
Or blind. Crazy.
Listen, I guess if you go with all the old wives still, it'd be like, no, I'm fine. I eat carrots constantly, so I'm good. So what do? I jerk off and eat carrots.
I see really good at night, but during the day, I can't say shit.
I told this joke the other day at band practice. These guys had, they'd never heard it, and I thought it was like the oldest joke ever. But the dude sitting on a plane, he would sneeze and then whip out his dick and wipe the head of it off, and then put it back in his pants. He'd sneeze and whip out his dick and wipe the head off of it. And the guy sitting next to him goes, "What's the deal, man?" He goes, "Oh, I got this condition where every time I sneeze, I have an orgasm." He goes, "What do you take for that?" He goes, "Pepper."
All right, moving along. We're getting way off target here.
There's a target? Somebody should tell the airplane driver. So all his predictions were dead on. After his prediction, he was asked to take a leave of absence, which was personally approved by the Secretary of the Navy. He was given a sealed envelope.
Uh-oh.
And I think I've lost a piece of paper here.
Ruh-roh.
So it was orders telling him to go to the Orient and do some research over there. Basically, they were just putting him in a hole to shut him up and get rid of him.
Does that happen?
I.
Come on. Okay. All right. All right. Yeah.
So a buddy.
Did he have to sign some kind of legal agreement?
All right. I think he already did. That's just it. He already did.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Just be the dick. I'm trying to give you the Lindy treatment. Every time you start talking, I'm just going to say something. Okay. All right. I'm done. Go ahead.
So a year later, a buddy of his hadn't heard from him in a while, so he went to go find him, and
that's when a good
he got
buddy.
There, the guy, he basically found his body in a shack.
That's convenient.
Not knowing how long he'd been dead, but then he too disappeared, and then was found dead later. And so it's a strange story with a lot of loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
And we will probably never know the truth of how he predicted and knew about Pearl Harbor.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Look, it's just a shame nobody listened.
Yeah.
Oh, they listened. They listened.
Really?
It's the comprehension part.
There you go. Was this one of the men who stared at goats?
It's like you're some kind of a Jedi.
There was one of those out-of-body experiences dudes or one of those mini tests?
Who knows, man? It was the 1920s, man. As soon as you said something that was weird, people were like, where can we put him? I know where the shack is over in the Southeast Asia, and we'll just disappear him.
I was going to say, that's time-consuming and expensive when there's a tree right there. We could just tie him to and set it on fire and burn the witch. Got this long. We got to link the rope here. We could probably handle this real quick.
What else does wood do? It floats. Well, then we should throw her in the lake and see if she floats.
If she... what else floats? A duck. So if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made out of wood. Yes, which means a witch! A witch! God, I love that part when they knocked the scale out. She said, this is a fair court.
Oh, I don't know why anybody can listen to this shit, because, man...
I don't know either.
I can't keep up with myself, much less you two.
I was talking to my buddy Dylan the other day, and me and Bob, I think, was going on about Monty Python Holy Grail. He goes, I tried to watch that. I couldn't do it. I was like, was he laughing too hard? He goes, no, I didn't like it. It's like, I'm really not sure if we can be friends anymore. No, I get it. Everybody's got different tastes.
Number six.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Ralph Sigler for a micro second. An immigrant from
Cheshire, England?
Czechoslovakia.
Oh, Czechoslovakia.
He arrived in America when he was 8 years old. He enlisted in the army in 1947, and he got married to a German woman shortly after while he was stationed abroad. When his tour was over, he brought her back to the States, and the couple had a child. Over a decade later, in 1966, FBI agents arrived at his doorstep to let him know he had been randomly selected to participate in counter-espionage.
No. Okay, no. That's not how that works. Nope. No, I don't believe you, and I'm not letting you in.
So, the family's ordinary life was turned upside down. In the following years, Sigler fed a great deal of false information to the SVR, which was later known as the KGB, Russia's intelligence agency. When he met Russian officials in person, he quickly earned their trust. He ended up being able to identify 14 SVR agents, and over time grew worried that the Russians were starting to suspect something. The FBI approached him at this time to get more information and send him back. And so his first real contact with Russian officials came in 1968 in Zurich. He made fast friends with them. He, like I said, was able to identify 14 different agents, was given an estimated $10,000 in compensation for this.
That's a lot of money back then.
What did this guy do?
Well, I don't know what he did while he was in the army.
He'd done something.
I can tell you
that. Punishment. They were just like, no, you're going to do this. If it works out, good for us. If it doesn't, fuck you.
He's from, I'm just going to shorten it. He's from the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
He obviously speaks German. He's obviously a Slavic male. So what better way to use someone who can speak the language and looks like the people
you think he would spy on?
Infiltrate.
Yeah. You think he would have snatched that motherfucker up the second he signed up for the army and been like, nah, hey, we got plans for you. Come on, you know, we're going to do this. If you wait until whatever.
So the $10,000 that he was given, every last penny of it, supposedly he gave to the army.
Did he? That's not stirring the Kool-Aid more than anything else I've heard so far. No fucking way.
No fucking way
he did that.
Nope. Now getting into the mid-70s.
I got a wife at home, but you guys go ahead and keep this $10,000.
Yeah. That's
the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
I don't know what the Army does with that money. They must have kept it or something, because I ain't never seen a penny of it.
Yeah.
They're going Forrest Gump now.
So in the mid-70s, Sigler was worried that he was getting in too deep and the Russians were becoming suspicious, which may have led him to offer extra information under pressure. By this time, the FBI brought him back in, and the situation grew complicated.
Just now it's complicated. If I'm undercover, it's already complicated. Yeah.
So the American intelligence officers were starting to become suspicious that his loyalties were not where they were supposed to be.
Mm. Okay, he's between the hammer and the anvil right now. I mean, both sides are fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Judas Priest. You're welcome.
He was forced to take a polygraph test, which showed he was extremely on edge. Go figure.
Shocker.
Yeah. Concerned, the Army arranged for Sigler to stay at a motel. Sadly, he never left the motel.
You know, that's a surprise. I didn't see that part coming.
Here you can never leave.
Yeah, that's where he went. It was absolutely Hotel California. Nope, we're going to send you over there to be a spy for us. And then you're over there and you're being a spy and you're worried about not dying and you want to do the right thing. And the people that sent you over there go, we don't trust your ass anymore. We think you're working for them now. I'd be like, where do I even go? What do you do at this point?
So his body was found in the motel room.
Was it? Okay, I know where it was at. Let me guess. Was it up on the top in some kind of water bin situation that they had? And people called in and was reporting that the water tasted funny.
Shit.
No. He had been electrocuted with two motel lamps.
What the fuck?
While the Army ruled his death a suicide...
Maybe it was really dark in the bathroom.
He was killed and possibly tortured by Soviet agents.
Sneaky fucking Russians.
In his last call to his wife, he ominously told her, I'm dying. I've never lied. He was later awarded the Legion of Merit Cross for his sacrifices.
What'd that cost? $7, so the government got to keep the $9,000. Okay. By the way, did you get that money I sent you, baby? You didn't? No, they said you told them to keep it, did they? Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to die a painful death real quick.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's awful. No, that doesn't happen. That's not, I don't. Oh, well, you've been randomly selected. Fuck yourself. Randomly selected.
The only thing that works for in my world is your analysis.
Yes. I got that not long ago. You've been randomly selected. Yay me. Not Publisher's Clearinghouse. No. No, no.
Not Publisher's Clearinghouse.
We want you to piss in a cup. All right.
All right, R. Kelly, I'm coming over right now.
I'm just like, all right. Can't you just search past history and see I've never failed one and just leave me be? Nope.
Nope. All right. Next story.
Uh-oh.
The Vietnam War was chaotic, to say the least.
A bit.
But there's one mystery that has never been explained. Troops from both sides often. Now, that's the word that makes me nervous. Often.
Often.
Reported exchanging blows with a group of human-like creatures who had reddish hair and ape-like features. Strangely,
Wonka.
There isn't
from Street Fighter
a single known species of ape in Vietnam.
Hmm.
It's a war tactic. So.
Other soldiers reported an enormous snake around 100 feet long with a massive 3-foot head.
Yeah, I know this. Yeah,
in Vietnamese folklore, such as creature was known as a bull eater. For comparison,
The story with was they flying in a helicopter? Because there's pictures of that snake. I mean, and a lot of people think that they might be faked, but I guess they were like checked out and said to be real.
I just read the news, Matt. I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to say there are people right now, like in captivity, or snakes in captivity right now that are like 28 foot long. You know, so if they're out in the wild and have been there for however long, eating whatever they want, there's no reason why it couldn't just keep growing, because it's going to keep a snake's going to keep growing until it dies.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the lifespan is.
What kills a 100-foot snake?
Men with guns.
Big fucking guns.
We're going to need more guns. Lots. No, what do you need? Guns. Lots of guns.
The guns.
That's Keanu Reeves and John Wick and The Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snake, man.
Yeah.
I got a snake, man.
God, that's so old school, man.
I'm sorry, Todd, continue.
No, I was just thinking about the, you know, how do you stop people? Well, let me rephrase that. How do you keep babies from drowning in July?
Holy shit, what do we do? I don't know, watch them?
No, you drown them in June. That's it.
It's like one of those Lemmy dead baby jokes that he would tell.
Yep.
It's like, how do you make a dead baby float? Two scoops of ice cream, two scoops of dead baby.
Oh, okay, we're getting dark. All right, where are we at here, Todd?
All right, the next one. During the American Revolution, there were obviously a lot of injuries. To serve these wounded soldiers, a hospital was built in the new town of Easton, Pennsylvania. Needless to say, 18th century medicine wasn't the best. And while medical records were very poorly kept, it's safe to say that hundreds or thousands died during the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, because what they go get dentists, and they've been like, you're close enough, you're a doctor now. What do we got? Well, you got opium, alcohol, there's a saw, and bandages.
Tourniquet. Yeah, that's better. Yeah.
Tommy, grab that axe, bring it over. He got a bad leg.
The sub-bitch keeps moving, the saw ain't working. Give me a cleaver. Some shit. Stop crying, you fucking pussy.
While this possibility exists in this hospital, its location is known. There is no graveyard in or around this whole area.
Oh, shit. So they just
fucking got it.
So, obviously, somewhere in Easton, Pennsylvania, there is a mass grave from the Revolutionary War that has yet to be found.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, they'll find it when they start making this new home development on it, and we got a real poltergeist situation pop up.
But you did move the bodies!
So, needless to say, if you live in Easton, Pennsylvania,
get the fuck out!
Fuck out! Some new Amish community will pop up. There'll be a TV show on the Travel Channel. Haunted Amish.
Hey, Jebediah. Go get it.
Finally got the house we always wanted. My brother built a house next to it. My sister built a house next to it. I don't know why they're married, so it's crazy, but...
The damn lights don't work, though. Can't get the lights to turn on.
There's so much poltergeist activity, we didn't need power. This is glowing lights and orbs everywhere.
Oh, shit.
This house is not clean.
Clear. It's not clear. How many people died here? I don't know, about 1,800. Where are they buried? Buried? What do you think we was feeding the rest of them? We didn't have an incinerator. We had a big meat grinder and a fucking grill.
Time to make the sausage.
Biscuits and gravy again.
All right, boys, you about ready to wrap this shit up for the day?
No, I got one more.
You got one more? Okay. Okay.
No, I don't.
No, I would love Todd to do, because I like it so much, but I never have enough time or whatever to get into it. But the SR-71 Blackbird, if you could do an episode on that. Me and you would geek out on it, and nobody else would like it, so we'll probably just not record it. I just want you to tell me about it.
I can give you all of the public information that has been released.
See, I can find that.
And maybe some general knowledge.
That he can neither confirm.
Well, no. If I'm gonna say it here, I can.
He can confirm.
Confirm, but there are some really great, funny stories about the SR-71.
I bet. Yes. Like just taking off in that thing, the pilot, like the first time flying it, you're gonna shit yourself, right? That thing's so fucking fast.
Mm-hmm. It's. You know what? I will give you what you want. I will give you a very short, concise episode on the Blackbird.
Nice.
I can do that.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
But going into that,
name a cooler looking aircraft that we've made than that thing. It's iconic. It's fucking awesome. What looks cooler than that?
I can't think of one.
Maybe like a Corsair, those old. What was the ones that had the wings came off when they were bent a little bit?
Corsair.
Okay, those were pretty cool too. But dude, the Blackbird was just the sweetest looking fucking craft. When I went to space camp, I actually got to go close enough to one to see it. Yeah, I went to space camp like 2 weeks
ago. And you called me a fucking nerd.
That was when I was much younger.
Oh, yeah, I grew out of it.
Yeah, no. No, I'm still a nerd. I'm never going to deny that. My wife still makes fun of me. You went to space camp? Go fuck yourself.
You mean while you're sitting there in your Twin Peaks Sheriff's Department sweatshirt, you're telling me you're not a geek? Okay. No,
definitely.
And I make Lord of the Rings references, and what do I get? Fucking nerd.
Yeah, there's only one trilogy.
Wrap it up, Frodo.
Okay. Shit. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. I like nerding out with Todd about this shit, so it's fucking crazy. But we appreciate you guys listening, and you know what? Like, rate, review, Spotify. Please do it that way.
Send us hate mail because Lindy wasn't here.
There you go.
Yeah, you can definitely do that, and let her know you missed her. We'll let her know next time, or send her a text or some shit.
We'll hear all about
hopefully.
It.
Hopefully, we'll find out.
Be like, what the fuck, guys?
We'll find out how everything went for her. Hopefully, well, I already know it's going to go good. She don't go after it if she ain't going to do it. So
she's badass. She's got it. Yeah,
she is a very determined woman.
Yes, almost scarily so.
Utterly so. Utterly so.
So we will see you next Tuesday. I am Spar.
I'm Zach.
I am a meat popsicle.
Later.
Later.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
It's evil! Don't watch it!
It's alive! I love you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?